WRCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The White House touting events this week to mark 100 days of President Trump's second term. But his approval rating sits at 39%, with about 70% of people in the ABC News Washington Post poll saying they believe a recession is at least somewhat likely. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent told ABC.
The surveys may say that, but consumers are still spending. So I prefer to look at what Americans are doing rather than how they're answering pollsters.
Congress returns from recess today. Republicans say their goal is to pass a budget bill by the end of May. President Trump's comments about Canada have become a big issue in today's national election across Canada as Vancouver mourns the 11 people killed when a vehicle plowed through a Filipino cultural festival Saturday. One person died, 12 were hurt when a boat crashed into a ferry off Clearwater, Florida last night. And Spain and Portugal racked by power outages right now, millions in the dark. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A new state law offers an alternative to the traditional bartender's license in Wisconsin. The statewide operator's permit is a new alternative to traditional operator's licenses, often referred to as bartender's licenses. Unlike licenses valid only within the issuing municipality, the statewide operator's permit is valid at licensed or permitted premises anywhere in Wisconsin. It provides flexibility for businesses operating in multiple municipalities, eliminating the need to obtain separate licenses for each location. For more details and permit qualifications, visit the Wisconsin Division of Alcohol Beverages website. Dane County officials are seeking partnerships and sponsorships to help complete a renovation of the Alliant Energy Center. WKOW reports Dane County Executive Melissa Agard and other leaders held a listening session on Wednesday to go over the proposed renovations to Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The building hasn't seen any major updates since it was built in the 60s and is sorely in need of better access for both visitors and for anyone wanting to run a show or host an event. The county is set to issue a request for proposals on the renovation later this year. A plea deal for an inmate charged in connection with the death of Lincoln Hills Youth Prison counselor Corey Prolix. Ryan Nyblom pled guilty to a pair of Class H felonies for battery by prisoners on Thursday. Investigators say he gave Javarius Hurd a cup of soapy water, which he threw in the face of a correction officer, sparking the chain of events that led to an attack on Prolix, who hit his head on a hard surface and died a few hours later. Nyblom had been facing felony murder charges, but Thursday's deal amends that count. He now faces up to 12 years in prison at an August 8th sentencing. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Another injury for Damian Lillard. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks' Damian Lillard going in for an MRI today. The Associated Press reporting there's concern he suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the Bucks' 129-103 loss to the Pacers last night in Milwaukee. Head coach Doc Rivers.
They're going to do an image. Obviously, his lower leg. And just being honest, it's not very promising.
Game 5 tomorrow night in Indy. The Pacers now lead 3-1. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off after beating the Cards in St. Louis 7-1 yesterday. NFL, the Packers picked up 8 players during the draft in Green Bay over the weekend. I asked GM Brian Gutekunst if he thought about trading for some more.
I would have loved to acquire more picks, whether that was this year or next year, and we really didn't accomplish that. But it was really pretty quiet today as far as that went. We had 8 picks, feel really good about those guys. And then some of the guys that we're signing right now, I feel pretty good about too.
That's the Packers' Brian Gutekunst with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, he is running to head up the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Joe Zepecki joins us. Also, Will Westmoreland. His YouTube channel is The Back 40. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
We're here at the Lake Wissota studio. It's cloudy, but it's getting brighter out there. Nothing like the storm that was going through around 2 a.m., which then made its way to central Wisconsin and continues on the war path here. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us right off the top to talk about that and then what's coming up a little bit later, which could be a little stronger, louder, attention-grabbing, if nothing else. So she'll be tracking that throughout the day, so you should be listening for updates throughout the day. But Brittany, where's the current activity right about now?
Absolutely. So what we've got going on right now is those rain still coming down, some frequent lightning, actually cloud to ground with some big rolls of thunder going on right now into Wausau, moving towards Antigo. And also there's a storm right now that's got some pea-sized hail into Appleton and rolling up I-41 towards Green Bay. So heads up for that. It's not severe warned. Nothing is at the moment. This is just our heads up round as the warm front moves into the state. So what we've got going on this afternoon is it's going to be breezy. Winds are going to be pulling out of the south, warming us up. They're going to be gusting around 30 to 40 miles per hour. It's going to get muggy. It's going to get pretty humid in some places, especially west and south. And we are looking at temperatures hitting into the 80s for the southern parts of the state, probably some 60s up north. And of course, this afternoon, if any thunderstorm, especially if it's all alone, isolated by itself, if that sparks around 2, 3, 4 o'clock this afternoon, keep an eye on it. Those have the potential to rapidly turn severe, bringing large hail, high wind gusts, and the environment is perfect for a tornado today. We're probably going to see some tornado watches going out. That means just be ready. The conditions are right. I'm telling you right now that they are. And if a tornado warning goes out, that means that it's actually seen by someone, a tornado is on the ground, or it is seen on radar, where we're seeing strong winds in a small area coming at the radar and away from it. So that pretty much signifies a twister out there. So if you have a tornado warning in your area throughout this evening or even into the overnight, you need to have a heads up because we have multiple waves of storms going through. Only the first round starts in the afternoon. We've got a cold front that still moves through this evening, probably around 6 o'clock, starting far northwest, moving its way through central areas through the evening after dark. And this line, too, could have tornadoes embedded in it, which would be rain-wrapped. You wouldn't see them anyways because it's dark. Hail, large hail is expected with this one, and also some wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour are possible. So we've got a lot going on. I mean, you can feel it out there today. It's so warm and so muggy so rapidly. These are all the ingredients for these strong storms. And in fact, the Storm Prediction Center has put a good chunk of Wisconsin in the bullseye in a moderate risk, which is a 4 out of 5 on that risk scale. So it doesn't get much worse, really. So we really need to keep a heads up. And the entire state is at least in an enhanced risk. It does lessen a little bit as we move away from central Wisconsin into eastern areas. So hopefully those storms will weaken as they move through and move east. But otherwise, I would just keep an eye out everywhere today because we could have a regional outbreak.
Yeah, just pay attention. That's all we're telling you today. Yep. Is this would not be the way. We don't want anybody afterwards going, I had no idea. This was exactly. It's not going to sneak up on us today. Not with these conditions out there.
No.
All right, Brittany. Thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later. Oh, wait, before I let you go, Dana in La Crosse on the text line. Do we know which direction the strongest winds will be coming from?
Are we talking about just today? Those will be out of the south. If we're talking about in a storm, the storm is going to be moving from west to east, probably moving at about 50 miles per hour in those lines coming through.
Okay, so south and west, you want to be mindful of.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know if they're moving patio furniture or just want to know where to be in the basement, but we wanted to answer that question from Dana. All right. Thanks,
good
Brittany.
Question.
Appreciate it
You're
very
welcome.
Much. Hey, you can sign up for our Robin Tigerton, by the way, also notes heavy rain and pea-sized hail in Tigerton around 7:50 this morning. So again, don't take anything for granted out here. You can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner at the top of the homepage, and you will be put on board our weekday morning newsletter that Christina Laurie puts together, full of stories, including one today about farmers markets that will be opening soon around Wisconsin. But we also have a monthly newsletter about Wisconsin sports, some of the good positive stories behind Wisconsin sports. That's about once a month from Christina. And then I put together a newsletter that comes out on Sunday mornings with a focus on Wisconsin politics that you can get as well. And of course, we had yesterday's issue all about the arrest by Donald Trump's FBI of Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan on Friday morning on felony charges, claiming that she intentionally misdirected federal agents away from an undocumented immigrant that they were trying to arrest at her courthouse on April 18th. Now, this is the latest in a two-part power play by Donald Trump against the judicial system. He is seeking to not be held accountable by judges who rule against some of his actions, I mean, defying even the U.S. Supreme Court at times. And at the same time, he is seeking to intimidate judges and others in the legal system who are trying to maintain an independent and co-equal branch of government. Federal officers have repeatedly been coming to local courthouses to take alleged undocumented immigrants into custody, and it's a practice that's been criticized by judges and others who note the dangers to public safety. Not just any disturbance inside of a courthouse, for example, but the fear as well that people will just stop showing up when they've been charged with crimes and become fugitives, and the people who will not report crimes for fear that they will be arrested and deported. And frankly, that's something that would affect all of us if the only witness to a crime that affected us were an undocumented immigrant. So Judge Dugan was angered that federal agents were once again crowding the courthouse hallway, causing disruptions in the court calendar, including a case for Eduardo Flores Ruiz, an undocumented immigrant who was in court as part of a fight with his roommate over music volume. And federal agents showed up believing that he was an undocumented immigrant and wanted to arrest him. We're all there in the hallway. The judge, Dugan, instructed Flores Ruiz to use a different door to still exit into the public hallway. For whatever reason, the agents did not make an arrest right away. They simply watched as Flores Ruiz walked into an elevator and out of the building. Agents approached him outside the courthouse. He tried to run away and was taken into custody. But for folks who are telling you that the judge is leading him like some secret elevator through some secret door and out into the street, and she held his hand and helped him across the street and everything else, no. There's the door. Use it. Go out into that public hallway. I've got a courtroom to run here. The reaction was swift from both sides of the partisan aisle, Democrats calling it, an overreach, gravely serious, weaponizing law enforcement. Republicans, meanwhile, say that they may attempt to remove Judge Dugan from office. And in doing so, those Republicans would simply assist Trump with his intimidation campaign against judges. So it's a story we will continue to follow here on Civic Media and, of course, over at Up North News as well. 8:14, quick check of sports here. The Brewers were winners, snapping that four-game losing streak by finally beating the St. Louis Cardinals yesterday 7-1. Christian Yelich had two hits, two RBIs. Jackson Churio, two hits. Jose Quintana struck out six over five innings, allowing one run on five hits, and he becomes the first Brewer pitcher to win his first four starts with the team since CC Sabathia in 2008. The Brewers are off today. They are on the south side of Chicago tomorrow to play the White Sox. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they are back home against the Cubs starting on Friday. The Milwaukee Bucks are on the verge of another humiliating first-round playoff elimination at the hands of the Indiana Pacers. They lost 129-103 last night to go down 3-1 to Indiana. Dame Lillard went out with what is feared to be an injured Achilles. Game 5 is the early evening game tomorrow in Indianapolis. So there are plenty of concerns that this American economy is either on the verge of a recession or is there. And of course, you don't know a recession the moment it hits. It's a backward looking statistic. You have to have like a quarter or two of negative growth before it's officially called a recession. Maybe we're there already. I mean, there are ports in this country normally teeming with ships bringing in goods from China. Those ports are nearly empty, according to some reports. That's going to lead to empty store shelves. What happens if a recession does hit, especially as we've all been watching retirement, or as soon as we've been watching Wall Street? What does this mean for your retirement? We've talked to Sean O'Malley in the past with his work as a compliance officer on Wall Street, but he also works in financial planning, and we asked him to come back and talk to us a bit about protecting your nest egg as well. Sean, welcome back. How are you?
Thanks for having me back, Pat. Doing well. Just crossing my fingers with the weather forecast. See what Brittany can do for some good weather here in western Wisconsin.
We are definitely hoping for that. So, look, it's always tough. We were updating our finances over the weekend and watching how much things had gone down from January 1st to March 31st to the end of the quarter. Again, every individual is different, but from a 30,000-foot level, what's your advice, especially to folks, approaching approaching retirement, about minimizing the damage to that nest egg if the economy takes a downturn?
Yeah, that's a concern that I think a lot of Americans have, given the sort of overall uncertainty right now, and that's certainly reflected in how consumers are approaching the marketplace. Consumer confidence is at its lowest in 12 years. So people are not feeling comfortable. And we're seeing this reflected in a lot of different ways. People are changing their buying patterns, spending patterns. And yes, there's also the very real concern of what's the ultimate impact going to be of the tariffs, particularly when you look at the tariffs that we're dealing with against China, where you're talking 145%. So there's a lot of uncertainty out there. There are a lot of unknowns. My best advice for the personal investor is, when you don't see any good opportunities to buy something, go with something that is basically as conservative as possible. I'm a big advocate for money market funds. When you're just not really sure or comfortable that it's a good time to get into stocks necessarily, I would say there's a lot of volatility there. There are a lot of unknowns. We don't know, especially if we do wind up going into a recession, which, as you correctly point out, it's always a backwards looking measure, but a lot of the tariffs seem to be setting up an environment where the likelihood of recession has increased. And if you look at most of the forecasts on the big, from the big houses on Wall Street, that number has gone from, single digits, maybe 10%, up to 45, 50, in some cases 60% for a recession this year. So not a great time to buy stocks. Unfortunately, also not a great time to buy bonds either. You're seeing demand for American assets really go down across the board internationally. And so what's happening is that there are fewer buyers for American treasury bonds and corporate bonds. A lot of the foreign countries are sort of shying away from American assets in general, which is, of course, driving up the yields. As yields go up, prices go down. But will prices continue to go down, or will they come back up? And that's the question mark. And you don't want to gamble.
Right. It gets to that expression, never try to catch a falling knife. Sean O'Malley, Sean O'Malley is with us right now. Still ahead this hour, Senator Kel DeRoy is on a bill about protecting women's most private health care decisions. And Jane Mattner on the way as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On April 22nd, in the Wisconsin State Senate, something happened that you don't see too often. A high-profile bill passed with overwhelming bipartisan support. The Republican-controlled chamber voted 32-1 to extend Medicaid coverage for new moms from 60 days to 12 months. Wisconsin is one of only two U.S. states that has not already extended this critical postpartum coverage. So with that kind of support, you'd expect the bill to pass, right? Well, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has repeatedly blocked this legislation from coming up for a vote. Several Republican state representatives have been speaking out on this, urging Voss to change his tune, but he has not yet budged. It's time for Voss to end this charade and allow this bill to come up for a vote. If he's opposed, he can still vote against it. But one person should not block a bill that has already been supported by the majority of his own party. Let the people vote, Mr. Speaker.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For which cooler, high coming in Wednesday, chance of showers could cover gradually 63. Friday decrease, Chamble Day, high of sunny, a comfortable 2. High 62, rain likely, high with periods of months. Be sure to likely be severe night, veer with large Thursday clouds and clouds and I meteorite winds and possible cooler than normal in the day. Shower later 64, high near 60. Tornadoes are CO. And for updates, so be sure to check in. Could bring us some scattered sunny and some 30% 27 today, partly and 8 to 5 into Thursday, late Wednesday, southeast of the Wicks. Sass for the rest of 3 or 4 K, 30 low 50, high 66, but breezy, hot, scattered thunderstorm, percent chance of 25. Morning, then again, high near 70 and more humid. Team spring, warms early in the scattered thunderstorm, warm breeze, warms toward northeast, 15% chance of variably cloudy, and tomorrow, very with thunderstorms,
dished
sunshine and muddy mixing with summer chill, high midnight, breezy way, wind late in the day, high 59. Saturday morning, clouding up, mostly cloudy. Tonight, partly
at a campground.
If 60, some will likely tornadoes
that occurred
in the morning. Cloud weather system impact warnings be issued. Stay alert. 51. We do expect Tuesday, look for blood. And Wednesday, partly issued. Our low temperature Monday.
From Dubuque in reference.
Then we'll see another wave act is from the south. Our showers. And ready to go to action should cooler, high. For winds of showers coming in Wednesday, 63. Cover gradually. Friday, decrease sunny, a comfortable day, high of 2. Chilly with periods of rain, likely high 62. Likely be severe. Be sure to months and clouds and night. Thursday cloudy, severe with large cooler than normal winds and possible in the day. I meteorite shower later, high near 64. Or CO. Tornadoes, so be sure to check in for updates. Sunny and somewhat bring us some scattered 77. 30% 8 to 5. Today, partly into Thursday, cooks southeasterly. We ask for the rest of late Wednesday, low 50, 30 by 66. So your 4% chance of scattered thunderstorm, breezy, high 25. Morning, then again, seeing more humid, high near 17. Scattered thunderstorms early in the...
From Dubuque, in reference to a fight that occurred at a campground where a knife was brandished.
Spring. These 15 storms toward more warm breeze with thunderstorms and chance of scattered. Tomorrow, variably cloudy or chill, high
dished.
Mixing with sunshine and Monday night breezy late in the day. High 59 with 9. Saturday morning clouding up. Tonight, partly to mostly cloudy.
At a campground.
If 60, likely some will tornadoes
that occurred
in the morning. Cloud weather system impact warnings be issued. We do expect 51 to stay alert. Wednesday, partly. And Tuesday, look for blue. Our low temperature Monday.
From Dubuque in reference.
Then we'll see another wave act is from the south and ready to go to action should our showers. Cooler, high. For winds of showers coming in Wednesday, 63. Cover gradually. Friday, decrease. Sunny, a comfortable day, high of 2. Likely be severe with periods of rain, likely high 62 and clouds and night. Be sure to Monday cooler than normal. Thursday cloudy, severe with large winds and possible shower later in the day. I'm meteorologist CO. Tornadoes high near 64. Sunny and some would bring us some scatter. So be sure to check in for updates in 8 to 57, 30% southeasterly wind. Today, partly into Thursday, low 50, 30 pass for the rest of late Wednesday, percent chance of high 66. So your forecast scattered thunderstorm 25. But breezy high morning, then again, team seeing more humid, high near 7.
From Dubuque.
Scattered thunderstorms early in the
you can refer at a campground that occurred and where a nuns to a fight dished.
These 15
knife was brand
spring. With thunderstorms toward more warm breeze or chill, high percent chance of scattered. Tomorrow, variably cloudy, tonight breezy
dished.
Mixing with sunshine and much late in the day. High 59 with tonight partly to 9. Saturday morning clouding up. Likely mostly cloudy.
At a campground.
If 60. Some will tornadoes.
That occurred.
Weather system impact. In the morning cloud warnings be issued. We do expect 51. Wednesday partly. And to stay alert. Our low temperature Monday. Tuesday look for blood.
From Dubuque in reference.
Then we'll see another wave act is from the south. And ready to go to action should mouth. Cooler high for winter showers. 63 cover gradually chance of showers coming in Wednesday. Sunny, a comfortable day. High of Friday decrease likely be severe with periods of dew. Chasing clouds and rain likely high 62 cooler than normal night. Be sure to month winds and possible Thursday cloudy severe with large CO shower later in the day. I'm meteorologist. Tornadoes high near 64. Sunny and some would bring us some scatter. So be sure to check in for updates. 6, 7, 8 to 57. 30% southeasterly wind. Today, partly low 50. 30 pass for the rest of into Thursday. Percent chance of high 66. So your forecast. Late Wednesday, scattered thunderstorm 25. But breezy, hot team. Morning, then again, seeing more humid, high near 7.
From Dubuque.
Scattered thunderstorms early in the...
You can refer at a campground that occurred and where a nun dished to a fight.
With thunderstorms, these 15...
Knife was brand...
Storms toward morning. Air tail, high percent chance of scattered. Tomorrow, very warm, breezy, tonight, breezy,
dished.
Mixing with variably cloudy late in the day. High 50, sunshine, and much tonight, partly today, with 9. Saturday morning, likely, mostly cloudy, clouding up. Some will
at a campground.
If 60, will tornadoes
that occurred.
At weather system impact. In the morning, cloud. Wednesday, partly, we do expect 51 warnings be issued. And to stay alert, low temperature Monday.
From Dubuque.
Tuesday, look for blood and ready to go to
you can reference.
Then we'll see another wave act is from the south. Action should be cooler, high south 63 for winter showers. Sunny, a comfortable cover, gradually chance of showers coming in Wednesday. Likely be severe day, high of Friday, decreasing clouds and with periods of dew. Cooler than normal night. Rain likely, high 62 winds and possible. Be sure to Monday, Thursday, cloudy, severe with large CO. Shower later in the day, sunny and some would bring us some scatter. Tornadoes, high near 64. I'm meteorologist, 7 to 8 to 5. So be sure to check in for updates. 77, low 50, 30 southeasterly. We ask for the rest of today, partly 30% chance of high 66. So your forecast into Thursday, scattered thunderstorm 25. But breezy, hot, late Wednesday, team. Morning, then again, seeing more humid, high near 7.
From Dubuque.
Scattered thunderstorms early in the...
At a campground that occurred and where a you can reference...
With thunderstorms...
Dished.
These 15...
To a fight. Knife was brand...
Storms toward morning. Air tail, high percent chance of... And tomorrow, very warm, breezy, tonight, breezy...
Dished.
Mixing with sun late in the day. High 50, sunshine, and much variably cloudy. Tonight, partly to... with 9. Saturday morning, likely some will mostly cloudy, clouding up, will tornadoes
at a campground
of 60
that occurred
at Wednesday, partly weather system impact in the morning, cloud shoot. We do expect 51 warnings be issued. Low temperature Monday and to stay alert and ready to go to
from Dubuque in reference.
Tuesday, look for blood action should be cooler, high. Then we'll see another wave act is from the south, 63 for south. Sunny, a comfortable cover, gradually or showers. Likely be severe of showers coming in Wednesday. In clouds and with periods of variable day. High of Friday decrease cooler than normal. Night 2. Change winds and possible rain. Likely high 62. Thursday cloudy. Severe with large. Be sure to. Monday sunny and summer CO. Shower later in the day. Could bring us some scale. Tornadoes high near 66. Send 8 to 54. I'm meteorite low 50. 27. So be sure to check in for updates. 30 southeasterly with percent chance of gas for the rest of today. Partly 30 per scattered thunderstorm, high 66. So your forecast to Thursday, team 25. But breezy, hot late Wednesday morning, then again.
News from the center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Dane County Regional Airport is resuming nonstop flights to Los Angeles. The flights will resume May 21st, with service running twice a week through August 30th. Airport Marketing Director Michael Rikers says the return of the seasonal route to L.A. is a testament to the community's demand for convenient air service. Dane County Regional Airport now provides nonstop flights to 17 destinations. The airport also recently expanded its south terminal to include new restaurants, a bar, and family amenities like a mother's lounge and children's play area. The University of Wisconsin-Madison Division of Extension Grant County will host a community discussion aimed at addressing the needs, challenges, and opportunities within Grant County. The event will be held Tuesday, May 6th from 6 to 8 at the Grant County Extension Office Youth and Ag Center Auditorium in Lancaster. The gathering will include a brief review of current extension services, followed by discussions on growth opportunities and sharing perspectives on youth development, community development, agriculture, human development, and relationships. UW-Madison Extension creates key connection points for families, communities, businesses, nonprofit organizations, government, and more. Light refreshments will be provided. Please RSVP today by calling the Grant County Extension Office at 608-723-2125. For more information, contact Lynn Perkins, Area Extension Director, at 608-341-6370. The Richland Center FFA will host a plant sale at the RCHS Greenhouse this week, Monday through Thursday from 8 to 3:30, Friday from 8 to 6, and Saturday from 8 to noon. Saturday will also include a brat stand. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Demi Moore says aging is a gift and very different from being old. The Hollywood Reporter says the Substance actress says she prefers her current age to being 21, saying as good as 21 may sound, it was torture. The Oscar-nominated actress praised Oscar winner Anora's Mikey Madison, saying she gave a phenomenal performance. She also says that she has much more work to do and would love to be back on the Oscar stage. Also from The Hollywood Reporter, and speaking of Substance, Margaret Qualley has a new comedy that she's just learned will hit theaters this summer. Focus Features' Honey Don't also stars Aubrey Plaza and Chris Evans and is directed by Ethan Coen. Qualley plays a small-town private investigator who looks into the deaths at a church. Honey Don't will hit theaters August 22nd. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be very warm today with strong to severe thunderstorms likely this afternoon into this evening. Hail, wind, and tornadoes are all possible. It's very important that you stay weather aware today. Be prepared and have a way to get warnings and information. Stay tuned for updates. We'll have them for you. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross, calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the entire draft for the Green Bay Packers and also major things ahead for Congress, including the future of Medicaid. Your calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome back. It is 8:35 now, the time. And again, a reminder that Jane Matinair will be along next to tell us what's coming up on Matinair on Air. And we have Dan Schaefer with us here tomorrow, along with Green Bay Mayor Eric Genrick. In our newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. There includes an article about all the farmers markets that you can find around Wisconsin, many that will be opening soon. And some of the biggest ones that you might want to put on your road trip bucket list, perhaps none more so than the one in the district of our next guest here, State Senator Kel DeRoys, who joins us from up in the Hayward area where the Joint Finance Committee is going to be meeting to talk about the state budget. So we're going to talk about the state budget. We're going to talk about women's health. But since we were just talking about farmers markets and your backyard, we're going to first say good morning to Kel and talk about how envious we are that big old market that wraps all around the state capitol building is right there in your backyard.
It is a must do. And it's always so much fun to go, even with my kids who run around like crazy people and just demand sweets.
You know what? I run around there like a crazy person. Not for the sweets so much, but for the spicy cheese bread. That's
yeah,
there.
And the fresh cheese curds. I mean, there's just so many great things there.
It's just amazing. Okay, well, let's start on a very serious topic here, and then we're going to get to joint finance and to women's health. But this politically motivated arrest of a Milwaukee County judge on Friday perhaps might have been an even bigger splash publicly if it weren't for a Friday. But I don't think that the anger over it is going to be dissipating. I think it's only going to grow as more people, especially those who are Republican leaning, go, this is not what they say it is. This is something that's not cool, arresting a judge. And that's the most flippant way I can put it, saying it's not cool. It's serious, Kelda.
It's very serious. I mean, as an attorney, I read the criminal complaint, so-called complaint from the FBI agent, and there's really nothing there. They didn't like that she was angry that they were showing up in her courtroom to try to arrest and deport someone who was appearing there. I mean, we all have an interest in society in people being willing to come to court. If you have been victimized, if you are a witness and you need to testify against somebody in a criminal trial, if you need to show up to court for family law, everybody deserves to be able to have their day in court. And that includes people who are immigrants, whether they're documented or not. And to turn the courthouse into a place where people are getting arrested and judges who are trying to administer justice are being hauled off in handcuffs in an attempt to intimidate them, that is very scary. That is, one of the clearest signals we have that they are marching full bore towards authoritarianism.
And to second that notion, not just the authoritarianism, but the intimidation, it's not as if they don't know where a lot of these folks are or have been. They may see that they are in court records. And even then, they could certainly try to, you know, arrest them outside of the courthouse. But to do this right outside a judge's chamber, right outside a courtroom, can't be interpreted any other way than an authoritarian intimidation tactic.
Absolutely. And as Ann Jacobs pointed out, the door that they went through went to a public hallway. And one of the agents actually rode the elevator with the person, but didn't arrest him in the elevator. Yeah. And, you know, they kind of manufactured this situation because they wanted to make an example of her. And I think it has a lot to do with also deflecting attention from the fact that they have deported numerous children, United States citizens, babies, some of whom are suffering from cancer. And they just put them on a plane to another country with no medication and no support.
It is the things that we're going to continue to learn. But again, you have these kinds of diversions. And frankly, it was reading the interpretation from Ann Jacobs, who's the chair of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and just a top-notch lawyer. And you read through that and you realize, I'm not going to say it was a setup, but, and let me hasten to add one thing here. When people go, oh, it's Democrats, you don't mind it. They could do anything. No, there are things that this judge or any other judge could be doing where we would say, no, you may not have liked the situation, but you can't do that. But pointing somebody toward a door that didn't continue to cause the chaos outside her courthouse, that just takes things to a whole different level, which is why we wanted to have the discussion that we did. Let's cover while you're up in Hayward and Wausau as a member of the Joint Finance Committee going over the state budget where people can again have their public input. I'm sure you expect a busy day. What are you expecting to hear?
Well, I'm expecting to hear from people all over northern Wisconsin about how important it is for us to be funding our K-12 public schools. We know that Republicans have put our public schools and our kids on a starvation diet for 15 years. Meanwhile, they've been shoveling massive tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires and taking money out of the public school system to put it into private, unaccountable voucher schools. People are mad all over the state when they talk about what it means for their kids to have these underfunded schools, what it's doing to our teachers, and it's causing a crisis in education. People are also concerned about childcare, very concerned about potential cuts to Badger Care, and of course, all the chaos and corruption and fiscal mismanagement that we see from the public administration.
And so if folks want to, if they can't be in Hayward today or Wausau tomorrow, we've mentioned this several times, there is an email address that you can use to give legislators on the Joint Finance Committee your input. And it goes like this, legis.wisconsin.gov. One more time, legis.wisconsin.gov. Kelda, as a state senator for you, former state senator to me, you and I both know those emails do not go into a black hole. There is significance in letting people know, letting legislators know what you think.
Absolutely. And in the aggregate, you know, it's very, very clear to see what people care about and what they want our state government to fund, and that Republicans haven't been doing it.
No, and sometimes, not necessarily on a dime, but sometimes you see a change of heart or a change in position. And I would point toward the recent vote in the state Senate overwhelmingly to extend postpartum care, postpartum Medicaid coverage to women for 12 months postpartum, not just 60 days. Now, there's still an uphill battle to get it past Speaker Voss in the Assembly. So we can talk about the merits of the issue, but I guess just from the standpoint of there are still things that, you know, can become increasingly bipartisan if people continue to know what they think their lawmakers should be doing, they can make a difference.
That's absolutely right. I mean, and, you know, several years ago, you really didn't have Republicans standing up for new moms on Badger Care. They were fine to let our state kick new moms off 60 days after giving birth. But over time, I think the public pressure has grown so great. I mean, it's so cruel. And we have kind of a third world infant and maternal mortality rate driven in large part by the lack of health care and health insurance coverage for new moms, especially low-income new moms who often have to go right back to work with no leave. And over time, the Republicans have responded to that pressure. But it remains to be seen whether they're willing to actually stand up for their convictions, stand up for these new moms, or they're just going to let the speaker continue to block it and hide behind him. And there are two ways that they could pass this bill, even over the speaker's objections. The first is they could put it in the budget. with, they don't need a single assembly Republican. They have all the Senate Democratic votes and assembly Democratic votes and every Senate Republican who already voted for it. We could put it in the budget today. Well, not today because we're not voting, but we could certainly keep it in the budget. The other thing they could do is they could try to pull the bill in the assembly onto the floor out of committee. Now they would have to break ranks and they would have to say, no, Voss, this is more important than your power plays. And it remains to be seen whether Republicans are willing to do that.
This is, you know, something that I first heard about last week, and I think from you or somebody quoting you about the whole notion of just put it in the budget bill. And by the way, for folks who go, oh, no, the Republicans, they always strip all policy out of the budget bill. No, they don't. They strip out the policy they don't like.
Right.
This is something that still could very easily go in the budget bill. And it would be a great way for Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee who want to just send a little message to Robin Voss saying this is so overwhelmingly bipartisan that, mm-hmm. you know, we're not letting you wield all the power on this one.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about the bill that would remove abortion care restrictions, restore health care rights in Wisconsin. What's in the legislation that you and others have introduced?
We just launched the Abortion Rights Restoration Act, and this bill does a number of really important things. Number one, it puts into state statute that you and I all have a right to bodily autonomy. We get to make our own healthcare decisions, including abortion. Number two, it repeals that horrible 1849 law that bans virtually all abortion in the state. And number three, it repeals a lot of the Walker-era restrictions that made abortion so difficult for people to get, so burdensome and so much more expensive that even under Roe v. Wade, many women did not functionally have the true right to access abortion. So it does all those three things and basically says there's never a circumstance, there's never a time when a politician knows better than you and your doctor what's best for you and your life and your circumstances.
Now, this is, again, a case of a bill that I'm going to safely predict is not going to be passed into law.
Oh,
and
Pat.
Yet, I know, I'm such a negative Nancy. But there's a reason why you still introduce things like these. So allow me to put that ball on the tee. Why even put these bills in the hopper?
Because I think it's really important for the voters who elected us and handed Democrats enormous victories in the legislature to know that we're fighting for them. We're not giving up on this issue. We also need to put pressure on these Republicans. You know, abortion is popular. It's way more popular than the Republican Party right now. 81% of people want this to be a private decision between a patient and a doctor, not a political one where you've got Republican politicians inserting themselves. So their position is deeply unpopular, and I think it's up to us to force the issue and make them talk about it. And, you know, within 24 hours of releasing that bill, we had one state rep put out a really unhinged press release attacking me and comparing abortion rights to the Holocaust and people who have abortions to Hitler. I mean, it was crazy, unhinged. And I think it's important that people see that because it does inform how active they are and their voting decision.
And you do see this in floor debates. I know that Dr. Kristen Lierley and I, 2 years ago in the budget, during the floor debate, we brought up these excerpts from Republicans. You know, one of them said, well, as a veterinarian, I know more about the biology of birth than almost anybody in this chamber and other similar ridiculousness. So it is important that these bills are introduced, that they're talked about, which is why we have civic media. It's why we have Up North News, is to say, look, a lot of mainstream media sites are simply not talking about these kinds of things, and you deserve to know what these legislators are introducing and what the significance would be. And the last thing, Kelda, would be that this is actually standing up for a position and not some kind of a move toward the mushy middle, which I know a lot of Democrats get pinged on. This is not just, well, we'll keep these restrictions, but not these. It's no, this is a right is a right.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we see in other states and even in Wisconsin after Dobbs, women being turned away from hospital emergency rooms, women being forced to bleed out and go septic in a Walmart parking lot, I mean, that is a nightmare. And the more people see of the anti-choice hellscape that these Republican extremists want to create for us, the less they want of it. And I think it's really important that, you know, people will vote for elected officials even if they don't agree with every single thing that person believes in. Because diverse country, right? We're never going to agree 100% on anything. But they want politicians who are going to stand up for what they believe in.
There you go. Kelda Royce, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We'll talk again real soon. All right. I'm Pat Kreitler, reminding you that it's all about every one of those words in our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Wisconsin volleyball fans, don't miss your chance to get a first look at the 2025 Badgers this spring. Catch Wisconsin volleyball in action against in-state rival Marquette on April 16th and UW Green Bay on the 22nd. This is your best opportunity to secure tickets and see your nationally ranked Badger volleyball team in action. So don't wait. For more information on Wisconsin volleyball and to grab your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Check out my war plans. Pete Hegseth talking about first big strike against the Houthis in Yemen on Signal, two separate channels. Yes, the one you heard about before with the reporter on it. Oops-a-daisy. And now also his wife, his bro, and his lawyer who magically got hired by the Pentagon. This guy's judgment could not be worse. Do you think Hegseth should probably resign?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
David Hogg, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And Republicans are doing this as well. They don't want any compromise, zero-sum game. I spent 30 years in politics. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time, weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I am Phil Nee with Southwestern Wisconsin Sports. The Richland Center High School golf team is preparing for some big meets coming up, including this Saturday at House on the Rock Resort, the River Valley Invite. RC High School golf coach Mike Davis joined us recently.
Great course. We're going to do the invite on Saturday, and then we go right back on Tuesday for the conference one, and we'll see which sets of holes they have us golf. You know, they got three nines out there, but it's a great course. It's tight, and the kids like playing there.
And I understand you're kind of really conditioning the varsity to try and get 18 holes, and it's a different, strategy when you go all 18, isn't it?
We have found that, we played a lot of nine-hole events, and that's kind of like playing half of a game, because when you get to the regionals and sectionals and that sort of thing, it's a 18-hole event, and it's just a different mind frame. I mean, you can have a bad hole and you got 17 more holes, you know, just the ability to pace yourself, you know, and, you know, it's a long walk and you're carrying a bag and, you know, it's a big mental thing. And we decided this year as a group that we like wanted to try that. So hopefully it pays off for us.
Richland Center High School golf coach Mike Davis. The Hornets have off today as far as varsity sports concerned. So tomorrow coming up, there will be track action going on at Viroqua. There will be Platteville golf course action for JV golf teams. And also the Richland Center baseball team will take on Lacrosse Logan tomorrow. Richland Center softball preparing for a return to the conference against Platteville. Today's schedule for River Valley: Fenimore is playing host to River Valley in baseball, and the River Valley softball team is taking on Sauk Prairie. Riverdale baseball is taking on Boscobel, and also the Riverdale softball team is home against Boscobel this afternoon. Ithaca will be at Weston, Cazenovia Ballpark for baseball and softball today. We'll have the call of the baseball game. That begins at 5 o'clock, pregame time 4:45, as two teams that are unbeaten in the Ridge and Valley Conference will meet in what should be a very good ball game. And today in the Ridge and Valley, Kickapoo is playing at Stoddard Elementary School against DeSoto, and it's Stoddard for the baseball game as well at the Stoddard Community Park. Those events going on today in high school sports. High school sports in the news from over the weekend. The WIAA met, and one of the top topics was name, image, and likeness coming to the high school. And it appears that will be the case.
The approved constitutional amendment will allow students to enter into NIL opportunities for activities not associated or identified with their school team, school, conference, or the WIAA. Students also can't wear their school team's uniform in any endorsement deal or use the marks and logos of their school, conference, or the WIAA. Compensation for NIL deals also can't be based on a student's on-field performance, and the deals cannot be provided as a means of recruiting. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
In bowling news, the end of the winter bowling season is here, and the Greater Richland Area USBC Bowling Association will have its annual open meeting coming up this Wednesday night at 6:30 at the Phoenix Center in Richland Center. All bowlers who are in leagues at the Phoenix Center are encouraged to attend. They need a quorum to conduct the election of officers for the next season. On the state of Wisconsin scene, Jose Quintana became the first Brewer pitcher to win his first four starts for the team since CC Sabathia in 2008. The 36-year-old Quintana helped Milwaukee snap a four-game losing streak in a 7-1 Sunday afternoon victory over the Cardinals. Quintana struck out six in five innings to pick up the victory. He allowed one run on five hits and three walks. He has given up just three runs in 23 and two-thirds innings over the four starts. The 36-year-old helped Milwaukee snap a four-game losing streak. A part of the game for me, he says, I'm happy with that he can get strikeouts against St. Louis on third strikes. The Brewers have the day off today before beginning a series against the White Sox. Elsewhere yesterday, Philadelphia over the Cubs, 3-1, Dodgers 9, Pittsburgh 2, Arizona 6-4 over Atlanta. Cincinnati beat Colorado 8-1, Washington 8, and the Mets 7. In the American League, Minnesota 5, the Angels 0, Detroit 7, Baltimore 0, Boston 13-3 over Cleveland, the Yankees 11, Toronto 2, Houston 7, Kansas City 3, the Athletics 3-2 over the White Sox. In interleague play, Tampa Bay 4-2 over San Diego, San Francisco 3, Texas 2, and Seattle 7-6 over Miami. The Packers draft class includes 8 new players, but the team didn't need much. Wide receiver Matthew Golden brings elite speed to the receiver core, but he's not very big. Offensive tackle Anthony Belton brings some size to the line, and wide receiver Savion Williams has size and some experience carrying the ball as well, a little more like Deebo Samuel. Green Bay's draft choices are questioned only because they picked one defensive back. The NFL is estimating the three-day crowd for the 2025 draft in Green Bay numbered 600,000 fans. That's about 2.5 times the initial estimates. Only last year's draft in Detroit exceeded the attendance, and it was held in a metro more than a dozen times larger. CEO Mark Murphy says about 90% of the crowd was made up of Packers fans. The weather improved after a cold and rainy Friday. Green Bay police report only one arrest over the run of the event. Here is General Manager Brian Gutekunst talking about the draft.
What an atmosphere having the draft here, and there are so many cool things that happened that, I didn't expect. Yeah, I thought, you know, it might be just a nuisance, but it was such a cool environment, such a cool thing.
A 26-point loss in front of the home crowd means the Bucs are one game away from elimination. Sunday night's defeat was by a 129-103 score. Injury-plagued guard Damian Lillard suffered a lower leg injury in the first period that could end his season. Indiana leads the series 3-1, with the action moving back to Indianapolis for what could be the finale coming up on Tuesday. Bucks superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo admits their backs are against the wall.
Everybody in the locker room know what the deal is. Got to go in Indiana, play some good basketball. Obviously, we don't have Dame, but the next guy got to step up. We got to do what we got to do. Move the ball, play together, try to win the game and come back.
That's sports for a Monday, and I'm Phil Nee.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is criticizing polls of his first 100 days in office. An ABC News Washington Post poll finds his approval rating sits at 39%, a record low. But the White House is touting success in the area of the border. Tom Homan, the White House border czar, said,
"If you arrive at our border without proper documentation, you shall be detained. Not maybe, not think about it, shall." And that's what President Trump's doing. Catch and release is over.
President also announced a two-week deadline for Russia and Ukraine to make a deal for ending their war. That's after his meeting with Ukrainian President Zelensky Saturday prior to Pope Francis's funeral. The Vatican set the date for the conclave to choose the next pope. It'll take place on Wednesday, May 7th. Canadians go to the polls today. President Trump's comments have become an issue in the national election to choose a prime minister as mourning continues for the 11 people killed in the vehicle ramming in Vancouver Saturday.